So this morning we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Prayavrat, Text 8. It's in prose form, so I'll recite.
Sa tatra tatra gaganatala udupati riva vimana valibir anupatam amara parivruddher abibujyamana patipati cha वरुतश सिद्ध गंधर्व साध्य चारण मुनि गणैर उपगीय मानो गंधमादन द्रोणिम अवभासयन उपससर्प सह
ही लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा
तत्र तत्र
हियर एंड देयर
गगनतले
अंडर द कैनोपी ऑफ द स्काई
Udupati,
the moon,
Iva,
like,
Vimana Avalibhi,
in their different airplanes,
Anupatam,
along the path,
Amara,
of the demigods,
Parivrude,
by the leaders,
Abhipujyamana,
being worshipped.
Patipati,
on the way, one after another.
Cha,
also.
Varutasha,
in groups.
Siddha,
by the residents of Siddhaloka.
Gandharva,
by the residents of Gandharvaloka.
Sadhya,
by the residents of Sadhya Loka.
Charana,
by the residents of Charana Loka.
Munigane,
and by great sages.
Upagiyamana,
being worshipped.
Gandhamadana,
of the planet where the Gandhamadan hill is found.
Dronim,
the border.
Avabhasayan,
illuminating.
Upasasarpa,
he approached. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is a Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
As Lord Brahma descended on his carrier, the great swan, all the residents of the planets named Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, Sadhyaloka and Charanaloka, as well as great sages and demigods flying in their different airplanes, assembled within the canopy of the sky to receive Lord Brahma and worship him. As he received respect and adoration from the residents of various planets, Lord Brahma appeared just like the full moon surrounded by illuminating stars. Lord Brahma's great swan then arrived at the border of the Gandhamadan hill and approached Prince Priyavrat, who was sitting there.
Purport.
It appears from this description that there is a regular interplanetary travel between the planets of the demigods. Another significant point is that there is a planet covered mostly by great mountains, one of which is Gandhamadan hill. Three great personalities, Priyavrat, Narad and Swayambhu Manu, were sitting on this hill. According to Brahma Samhita, each universe is filled with different planetary systems and every system has a unique opulence. For example, on Siddhaloka, all the residents are very advanced in the powers of mystic yoga. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes or other flying machines. Similarly, the residents of Gandharvaloka are expert in musical science, and those on Sadhyaloka are all great saints. The interplanetary system undoubtedly exists, and the residents of different planets may go from one to another. On this earth, however, we have not invented any machine that can go directly from one planet to another, although an unsuccessful attempt has been made to go directly to the moon. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं ददाति स्म पदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। सो ऑन द ऑर्डर ऑफ हिज होलनेस भक्तिप्रिय भागवत महाराज वी आर मेकिंग एन अटेम्प्ट टू डिस्कस ऑन दिस वर्स ऑफ द भागवतम सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ महाराज एंड सो मेनी अदर सीनियर वैष्णवस प्रेजेंट ओवर हियर। So here we see in the section of the Bhagavatam that how Maharaj Priyavrat, who was totally absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord in the renounced order of life, and now Brahmaji is coming to pacify him to accept the rule of the kingdom. And in this verse we find that how Lord Brahma on his swan carrier, he is descending down near the Gandhamadan hill, and he is accompanied by so many residents of so many other planets like Siddhaloka, Charanloka, Sadhyaloka and so on, and all of them are offering their respects to Brahma, and Brahmaji is coming at the Gandhamadan hill to speak to Maharaj Priyavrat. One Srila Prabhupada, in one evening lecture, he was speaking about great giant eagles which fly from one planet to the other. They're so huge. He was describing them. And he says that they even eat elephants. And they hatch their eggs in atmospheric space by friction of air. So, Prabhupada spoke this with great confidence as usual in his usual style with his head high, and very confidently he spoke this. So there was one devotee named Raghunath in the audience,
And so when Srila Prabhupada asked for questions, so this devotee named Raghunath, he began to say, Srila Prabhupada, you were speaking in the class about giant eagles. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And then this devotee said, but Prabhupada, it's very hard to believe. And so Srila Prabhupada replied, what do you know? You're still in the mother's womb. So Burijan Prabhu, he is writing this pastime in his book My Glorious Master, and he is describing that how the devotees who are contaminated or conditioned by their own prejudices, and in their spiritual babyhood, it may be hard to believe so many of these truths. And so we find that the shastras are filled with so many of these extraordinary events and extraordinary things that are found. Like the shastras are describing, we have experience of only an ocean of salt water, but the shastras are describing about oceans of sugarcane juice and mango juice and so many wonderful things. Here Srila Prabhupada in this purport is describing about regular interplanetary travel. And so these various truths that are present in the shastras may be hard to believe, but then we find that Srila Prabhupada, he had full faith in the shastras. And because when one has that full faith, so whatever the Shastra says, even though it may be inconceivable in our present condition state, but still, on the basis of faith, one accepts. And so we find that, as Srila Prabhupada, he often mentioned that how this faith in the Shastras is so very important. Srila Prabhupada, through his own example, showed that. And here we find that in the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing that here on this earth planet, we have not invented any machine that can go directly from one planet to another, although an unsuccessful attempt has been made to go directly to the moon. So we find at a time when everyone was thoroughly convinced that man had gone to the moon, Srila Prabhupada, we find that how he was convinced that no, man never landed on moon. And Srila Prabhupada emphatically stated that he had full faith that unless one is qualified, one cannot go to other planets. And so on the basis of Shastra, Srila Prabhupada had that full faith. And so that faith in the Shastras is something which is very, very important for one's progress in Krishna consciousness. And so we find on the basis of faith, the devotees have been classified into Kanishta, Madhyam and Uttam. And in order for the progress of the devotee from Kanishta to Madhyam, the increase in faith is something which is so very essential. And that faith comes by the association of devotees. From hearing from them, one can increase this faith. And so we find that how in the Shastras there are so many descriptions of how, like, the demigods would come to the sacrifices performed by Maharaj Yudhishthir and Maharaj Parikshit. We also hear of how Arjun went to the heavenly planets. And so we hear of so many instances of this interplanetary travel. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that how when Maharaj Parikshit, he decided to renounce the world and go to the banks of the Ganges to hear from Shukdev Goswami, at that time there was intercommunication, there was communication between the planets. And so the residents of the heavenly planets, they came to know that Maharaj Parikshit is now going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam Shukdev Goswami. And on hearing this decision of Maharaj Parikshit, all the demigods, they showered flowers from the higher planetary systems. And so, in the modern day world, we may be proud of our advancement in communication, our advancement in travel at great speeds. But then we find from the Shastras that how what was available in those days was much more advanced than what we are having now. And not the type of communications that we have now with so many deficiencies and so many difficulties, so much of pollution and this and that. But we find that these interplanetary travel took place in airplanes which had absolutely no problems, no pollution, no delays, no crashes, nothing of that sort. And a communication system much more effective than what we have now. And so we find that it is natural for the conditioned soul to seek freedom. Srila Prabhupada mentions that how the soul by nature is free. And so therefore the soul always seeks this freedom. But being in the conditioned state, the soul is entangled, is bound by this material body and the three modes which are governing this material body. And although the living entity in this material world is bound, has no freedom, but still by the influence of external energy, in a state of illusion, the living entity thinks that he is free, although he is not free. And so therefore, Srila Prabhupada, quoting from the Prema Vivarta, he quotes this verse, wherein he states, Pishachi Pailayena Mati Chanahaya Maya Grasta Jivera Se Dasha Upajaya. So he says, Pishachi Paila means the living entity, he's just like a haunted ghost, Pishachi. So just like if somebody is haunted by a ghost, or if somebody is a drunkard, so he behaves in ways which he is not actually so. So just like a person haunted by a ghost, he speaks all irrelevant things. He may imagine things which he is not. Or a person who is a drunkard, he is lying in the gutter and he may think I am Prime Minister. And he may even give orders to different people. Hey, do this, do that. He is imagining himself in a state of illusion. He's thinking. Similarly, the living entity, when he is under the influence of the external energy, he is not at all free. But in the state of illusion, he is imagining himself to be free. And so, we find that actually he is totally bound. He is bound by the three modes. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Prakrute kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha ankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So, we find that this, in the conditioned state, the living entity imagines himself to be free, although he is not free. And this sort of freedom, Srila Prabhupada explains, is not at all, is something which the living entity does not desire. He wants freedom. And so therefore we find in the world, everyone is fighting for freedom. So in the recent times we see that how in the state of Andhra Pradesh, there's a big fight for a separate Telangana state. And so many parts of the world, people are fighting because they want freedom. So why are there so many wars? Why is there so much fight for freedom? Because the living entity seeks that freedom. But then, as long as one is in the conditioned state, one is bound. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing of how there are so many people in so many other planetary systems who have great mystic siddhis, and they can travel from one planet to another, from one place to another. Srila Prabhupada describes in one lecture that how in India there are some yogis who go to these four dhams in one day. So they travel from Badrinath to Rameshwaram to Dwaraka, Jagannath Puri, all the places they go. We also hear of residents of higher planets coming down via the Ganges to hear Bhagavad Katha. So we find these residents of other planets, they have all these mystic siddhis to travel. And so, to the degree one is making spiritual advancement, to that degree there is greater and greater freedom offered. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, the devotees do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Interesting example. Just like if a father has two sons, and if one son is very mischievous, he never obeys the father, he is drinking, smoking cigarettes, he just does whatever he wants. And there is another son who is very obedient, and he follows what the father says. So, to the mischievous son, the father, he does not give him any liberty, any freedom to use money or any of the facilities of the house. He restricts his freedom because he knows that if he is given freedom, he'll misuse that freedom. But on the other hand, when the son is very obedient, then the father, he has so much trust in the son that he may give him the keys of his cupboard where all the money is kept. And so he gives him that freedom because he knows that he is never going to misuse that freedom. Similarly, here we find Srila Prabhupada is making this statement. He says, devotees do not misuse the freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. So for those who are rebellious, who don't obey the Lord, they are kept under the control of Mayadevi within this world, and all their freedom is taken away. Of course, there is minute independence, there is minute freedom, but most of the freedom is taken away. So one may be thinking one is free. So we find in the modern day, people think that we are free, we can do whatever we want, we can eat whatever we want, we can drink whatever we want, we can smoke, etc. But then, they are thinking they are free, but the moment they commit any of these activities, by the laws of material nature, they immediately get a reaction. So where is the freedom? So, Prabhupada is asking in one lecture, he's saying, these people think they are free, but where is the freedom? Material nature forces them to get diseased, forces them to become old, ultimately forces them to die. So where is the freedom? There is no freedom. But then on the other hand, when the devotee appropriately uses his free will in the service of the Lord, he is given more and more freedom. So we find Srila Prabhupada writes that Narad Muni, he is a free spaceman. He can go anywhere. Anywhere in the material worlds, anywhere in the spiritual worlds, anywhere he can go. is totally free.
Why?
Narad Muni himself says this in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, because of unbroken devotional service, therefore, with my transcendental instrument, the Veena, I travel anywhere at my will. And so, the real freedom, the real independence is obtained when one uses that free will, one uses that freedom in the service of the Lord. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, real independence is when one declares one's dependence on God. So, when one thinks that one is totally dependent on the Lord, one submits the free will in the hands of the Lord, then there is real freedom, as we see in the case of Narad Muni. And so, how did Narad Muni come to this platform where he has got this freedom to move about at will, and how did he come to that stage that Narad Muni himself is explaining? So as Narad Muni is explaining his own life to his disciple Vyasadeva, so he's explaining a significant point. So he's saying that how he served the Bhaktivedantas, and by their mercy, he received knowledge from them. He received their mercy. And he became more and more enlightened in the service of the Lord. So, in those purports, Srila Prabhupada makes one important statement. So he says, in a purport to one of the verses, where at the end of the Narad Muni pastime, he is like summarizing the whole pastime. And so he says, one of the main duties of a devotee is to seek out the association of pure devotees, and in that association, render service physically and mentally without reservation. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining how devotional service is to be rendered physically and mentally without reservation, as we find in the case of this Narad boy as he was rendering service to the Bhaktivedantas. So the nature of that service that is rendered is something which is so very important, the quality of that service. As Maharaj was beautifully explaining in the seminar on the holy name, that how the holy name is to be taken, not simply mechanically, but then with great concentration, hearing the holy name attentively and without committing offenses. And so it is not just a mechanical activity of chanting the holy names, but then how the holy names are chanted, in what mood, that is what is going to actually give the result. And so here Srila Prabhupada is making this important statement, physically and mentally without reservation. So it is not just the physical rendering of service. Of course, that is also important, that one do the service. But he is also adding the word mentally, with the mind, with our consciousness fully involved in that particular service, without any reservation, not grudgingly, but then with the attitude of trying to please Guru and Krishna. And so, when the service is done with that proper attitude, then we find that how the devotees, the Lord, they are so pleased with that service. Just as the Bhaktivedantas were so pleased with the service rendered by this Narad boy. So we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the wonderful example of the devotional service of Raghava Pandit. So we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is glorifying the devotional service of Raghava Pandit as if he has five mouths. There is describing that how Raghava Pandit, he would offer coconuts to the Lord. And he is describing that how, though Raghava Pandit had hundreds of coconut trees within his own garden, still He would travel many miles to get the best coconuts, even if it meant paying a higher price. And he would get these coconuts, he would put them in cooling waters, and then cut the top portion, remove the water in glasses, and would remove the inner portion of the coconut, put it on plate. And with so much of love and devotion, he would offer that to the Supreme Lord, that sometimes the Lord would actually eat and drink that coconut water. No Mahaprasadam. And so we find, why? Because that was the quality of devotional service which Raghava Pandit was offering. And sometimes, of course, the Lord would once again keep that coconut water and pull back to offer Mahaprasadam. But then, the point is that how the Lord was so pleased with the devotional service of Raghava Pandit because of the quality of that service. And we know that how once when the servant had brought coconuts and he was standing at the door, and as he was standing at that door, he happened to touch the roof, and with that same hand he touched the coconuts. Seeing this, Raghava Pandit was so angry and he said, how can you do this? Don't you know that there are so many people walking through this door and the dust from their feet, it goes up, and then you're touching that roof with the hand, with the same hand you're touching the coconuts. The coconuts are contaminated. Throw them. And he sent the servant back many miles again to get the coconuts. Why? Because he wanted to offer the best. So Srila Prabhupada, in that purport, he writes that Raghava Pandit was not under the influence of some cleanliness phobia. He was not just trying to be a fanatic, trying to just for the sake of keeping everything clean, for maintaining cleanliness, trying to keep everything clean. No, not such a fanatic. But then, that cleanliness was a manifestation of his service attitude to the Lord, a manifestation of his love and devotion to the Lord. So, that love towards the Supreme Lord is not simply some internal feeling, but that love towards the Supreme Lord is manifested in the quality of the service that is rendered. As it is said, that love, when there is love, there is attention to details. So when there is real love, then it is manifested in the quality of the service that is rendered. And so we find that the Lord is extremely pleased by that quality of the service. And so we find in the case of Narad Boy, because that was the way in which he was rendering service to the Bhaktivedantas, therefore we find that the Bhaktivedantas were extremely pleased with that service attitude, and they offered their mercy to this boy. What was the result of that? The result was that he developed great taste in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. And then we know that how later he had darshan of the Lord for a few moments, but then the Lord, he manifested that darshan to increase the eagerness of Narad Boy, and then he disappeared. And then in the next kalpa, in the next day of Brahma, we see that how Narad was born as the son of Brahma, totally pure and with a full freedom to travel anywhere at will. So that real freedom can be experienced when, to the degree, one is totally pure. And so, when one does not misuse the freedom, then the Lord grants more freedom. And so therefore, Srila Prabhupada, speaking about the regulative principles, he says regulative principles of freedom. So one may wonder, how? If one has to follow rules and regulations, where is freedom? So that is what the materialists think. They think that devotee is, so many rules and regulations they are following. There is no freedom. So they say, no, we want freedom. We don't want to follow all these rules and regulations. But then, the fact is that by not following the rules and regulations, one gets bound. And by following the rules and regulations, one actually becomes free. Free from the influence of the modes. So, that is what happens. How is it possible for one to achieve this real freedom? And so, Mother Devahuti, speaking to Lord Kapila, she says, Tasya tvam tamaso andasya dushparasyadya paragam satchakshu janma namante labdham me tvad anugrahat. So she is saying, my dear Lord, you are the only means of getting out of this dark region of ignorance. Tasya tvam tamaso andasya. She is using this word paragam, means to cross over. To cross over from this life of bondage, of conditioned life, and to go to the other side, to the life of freedom. How one can cross over? So one can cross over by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, as Mother Devahuti, she is taking shelter of Lord Kapila, and saying that you are the transcendental I, because you can give knowledge by which I can come out of this ignorance. And by coming out of this ignorance, I can cross over from this life of bondage to the life of actual freedom. And so therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in one of these purports to Narad Muni section, he is mentioning these very important three qualifications which are necessary in order to effectively serve the bona fide spiritual master. And so he says, without being fully obedient, without being disciplined, and without totally controlling the senses, no one can be successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master, and without doing so, no one can be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. So he's mentioning these very important three qualifications which are necessary in order to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, by which one can cross over from this life of bondage to the life of freedom. Sense control, fully obedient, and disciplined. So, by observing this life of discipline, by following the rules and regulations, one can actually come out of conditioned life to a life of total freedom. And so, therefore, all these three, if you see, sense control, obedience and discipline, all three of them appear as if they are restricting the freedom. And so nobody likes them. One thinks, oh, if one is too strict about sense control and discipline and obedience, one thinks, oh, this is not very comfortable. I want more freedom. But then, Srila Prabhupada is clearly mentioning that these are the ways in which one can get real freedom and come out of the life of bondage. Here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about three great personalities. He writes in this purport, three great personalities: Priyavrat, Narada and Swayambhu Manu. So we find that just like in the case of Narada, he had these wonderful qualifications. Similarly, we find Swayambhu Manu also exhibiting the same qualifications. After Swayambhu Manu and his wife Archi, they were born from Brahma. So Brahma, so Swayambhu Manu is approaching Brahma and is asking, please tell me, how can I render service to you? What is my duty? And seeing this wonderful service attitude of Swayambhu Manu, we find that Brahmaji is so pleased. And Brahmaji is offering his blessings to Swayambhu Manu and his wife. And he says, why? Because this is a perfect relationship between a father and a son. The son is supposed to surrender to the father and render service to him. And so Brahmaji is so pleased with this attitude of Swayambhu Manu and offering him full blessings. And so we find, and similarly we find Priyavrat here, he is also exhibiting the same attitude to Narada and Brahma. That is how one actually becomes great. As Prabhupada, there are three great personalities. By exhibiting these qualities, one actually becomes great in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. One can become great in this material world by so many material achievements. But then, real greatness is greatness in the eyes, in the perception of the Supreme Lord. And that greatness can be achieved when one exhibits the right qualities. As Prabhupada in one purport, he mentions, there are two types of heroes. One hero is the hero of this material world, who has great achievements. Like there have been great emperors, Alexander, Hitler, Napoleon, great people. But then, even though they have been great, they had great achievements, but then all their achievements are simply temporary, material. And so, ultimately, all these big heroes simply become zeros. But then Srila Prabhupada writes, the other type of hero is the one who has controlled his mind and senses and is fully engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. We have the choice which type of hero we want to become. And so, Srila Prabhupada is writing here about three great personalities. How they have become great is by the exhibition of these right qualities, these qualifications in service to the Supreme Lord. And then, one can have that full freedom. Come out of the life of bondage and have that full freedom in the service of the Supreme Lord. Just one, I will conclude with this one point here. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about the characteristics of the residents of different lokas, different planets. That is how in the residents of Gandharva Loka, the expert in musical science, the residents of Sadhya Loka, they are great saints, the residents of Siddha Loka, they can move about by the mystic powers. And as far as the earth planet, he says that here we don't find anyone with such mystic powers. So what is the speciality of this earth planet? We find in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the demigods, they are praying to the Lord. They are saying, my dear Lord, though we have done so much pious activities and therefore we are in the heavenly planets, but then all this is going to be finished. So we pray that at the end of this life, if you have any merit remaining, please let us take our birth in Bharatvarsha. Because the residents of this Bharatvarsha are so fortunate, because the Supreme Lord Himself comes and performs innumerable pastimes. And similarly, Lord Brahma, He is speaking to the demigods in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, and there He is telling the demigods, my dear demigods, the human form of life is very special. Because in the human form, one can perfect one's religious life. And having obtained a human form of life on this earth planet, if one does not use this life for Krishna consciousness, then the reason is because he is totally affected by the illusory energy of the Lord. And so therefore, having the great fortune of being residents of this Bharatvarsha As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharat Bhumito Hoyal Manushya Janmayar, Janma Sarthak Kori Kara Para Upakar. And so we have the great fortune of being born here, and so therefore we can utilize this human form of life for the perfection of Krishna consciousness and coming out of this life of bondage and coming to the life of full freedom in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maybe we can take one question, if any. Yes, Prasad.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. My question is that in Krishna Leela we find that when Lord Krishna is about to appear, so he instructs the demigods through Lord Brahma to take birth in the Yadu dynasty and assist him in his pastimes. And on the other hand, we find so many quotes, and as you also mentioned right now, that the demigods are wanting to take birth in India or Bharat Bhumi. So how is this? I mean, they're on one side, they're being invited by the Lord himself, and they're born in the Yadu dynasty, and on the other hand, they're still hankering.
Yeah. So yes, when the Lord is performing his different pastimes, so in order to assist him in his different pastimes, the Lord is inviting. So he invites both his eternal associates as well as the demigods who come in different forms to help him in his different pastimes. So that is the Leela of the Lord. That is the pastime of the Lord. But then, on their own merits, the demigods, by their pious activities, they go to the heavenly planets where there is so much of sense gratification, where it becomes difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. And so on their own merit, if they have to perfect their lives and go back to the spiritual world, then that conducive atmosphere to practice Krishna consciousness is only available on this earth planet. Right? And so, as the pastime of the Lord, he definitely invited the demigods to help him. But then, on their own merit, the demigods, only when they come to this earth planet and perform Krishna consciousness, then only they become eligible to go back to the spiritual world.
Just by being in the pastimes with the Lord, are they not eligible to go back?
Okay. As far as those demigods are concerned who did take part in the Lord's pastimes, now it depends whether, having taken part in the Lord's pastimes, whether they were actually purified of all their various material desires. So, if they have been totally purified, then yes, the Lord would send them to the spiritual world. But then, if they have not been totally purified, then definitely they may have to continue their life in the heavenly planets, and then maybe in future they can purify themselves. That's my understanding. Somebody would like to add to this? Yes, please pass on the mic.
And that there are five things which are not available in heavenly planet. One is Sadhu Sangha, other is Bhagavat Katha, other is Mahaprasad, and holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, etc. Therefore, they desire to come to this planet.
Yes.
Although they have lot of sense gratification, but again, sense gratification is not the ultimate thing to satisfy somebody. But these five things, which is very essential, which is found only on earthly planet, therefore, they want to come.
Thank you very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Granthanaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaved Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki, Atai Gaur Priyapanandai.